Now I'm going to tell you something. Only after we say, you agree that this part is not part of the story that's published anywhere or in the library, Tulsa TU, whatever it is, online. This part's not going to be a part of that as long as I'm living.
You've stated it.
This is a verbal contract.
Yes, it is.
And I'm going to say that if it shows up, even by mistake, without my permission, then I have the right to say, pull it all down. It's all going to go down. Give me the copies back. It's not going to happen.
You could take everything away from me then. So
because what are we doing? I guess we're doing Voices of Oklahoma. It's a historical thing.
Okay.
So I have prostate cancer. I'm not going to cry about it. I get the cries now and then. I was diagnosed a year ago. I will not be here. Who they don't know, 2 years from now. So after I'm dead, but if you're still alive, you can add this to the thing where I say on April, what is it?
17th, 2018,
that I have stage 4 cancer and we're treating it and I have good days, bad days, but I'm dying of cancer. There's no fixing it. There's no nothing. I just thought that might be an important thing to say on the record, but not for the record while I'm alive.
I hear you, and thank you for sharing that. So how are you handling this?
Poorly.
You said 2 years. Are they giving you 2 years?
6 months. They don't do that. Like some TV movie, they don't do that. I mean, I've got a big, giant team of doctors who all just run from that, you know, statement. Now, the truth is, if you're going to have cancer as a man, prostate cancer is not a bad one to have. I don't know. On the other hand, if you have some kind of specific cancer, they know just what to do. They can cut it out, do radiation and chemo. You know, there's specific things that you do. And in a lot of cases these days, then they fix it. But prostate cancer is different. It's not as drastic as brain cancer or something, but it's also not fixable like that. Well, not when it's this far along. So that's my story, and I have good days, bad days, but...
How did you handle the day the doctor said to you?
I was flipping about it. I had to tell my family, of course. I'm not told anybody, really, very few close friends. So it isn't just that I don't want this as part of your deal, until some time later, if you decide to do that. But also, I don't want you telling anybody. You know, no. You got to tell your wife anything you want to tell her, but right. I'm saying don't go telling other people at all. I'm trying to keep it quiet. But like I said to my family, you know, I don't want to be the only one not running around with his hair on fire. You know, I mean, it is what it is.
What's your treatment now? Is it chemo or radiation?
No, I don't do chemo yet. I haven't. I hope not to. Prostate cancer feeds on testosterone. So virtually from the day or the week of the diagnosis, which has now been a little over a year, they started giving me these injections that kill testosterone. It's like chemical castration. It worked really well for a few months and then it kind of stopped working. I still get those monthly injections, so I do that. And then we added some drugs, some pills that are beyond reach, you know, Medicare and also good insurance. So it doesn't cost me nothing, but it paints a picture of the healthcare system, because both the one I'm on now and the one I started were somewhere in the $10,000 to $12,000 a month range. Hmm. So it's beyond normal people stuff. I take 4 pills every day and it's like $400. You know, I could buy a new car. Well, I could buy a car every week.
Yeah.
But some odd things. The first thing that hits me a lot of times, it's just I'm overwhelmed by what's left undone. And I think that's probably not unlike a lot of people that, as Frank Sanger, whoever did, face the final curtain. So a year ago, when they're saying you can do this or do that, and I'm saying, what's the prognosis? And they give you charts and studies, and they're sincere, but I couldn't get anybody to say, well, you have 4 months if you do this, you have 6 if you do that. Mm-hmm. what it looked like to me was they encouraged me to do chemo in addition to these injections. We've had some evidence that if you start it right away, it's an old-fashioned chemo, but it works well with prostate cancer. Just in some percentage of cases. I mean, they got no concrete thing. It isn't like, you know, you wear this cast for a while and your broken arm will be okay. It isn't any of that. So it looked like to me, and Charlene, she's there for every instant of it, that if you did chemo a year ago, if you do chemo 6 months, it's going to be hell, you know, and it's rough. Not for the hair falling out and all that stuff. It drains you. Your fatigue is off the charts. But if you do it, there's some evidence, there's some charts they gave me that show you take that 4 or 5 or 6 months that you did this year, meaning last year now, and whenever the end comes, 2 years from now or 1 year from now, whatever it is, you probably gain 7 or 8, maybe, months. You gain a little bit. Like at the other end, you gain something. So there's so much to do for OK Pop and for the Leon Project. All of our eggs are in that basket, really, in some fashion. So for OK Pop and Leon, and then I am a guitar mad scientist guy. I had an idea I wanted to do, and I'm working on that now. But do I give up all of that with the chance that the end of my life might be prolonged by this? I won't be able to do this stuff that I did last year and I'm doing now, like the transfers and all that stuff, because I'll be whipped from the chemo.
But it would be for a period of time. It could be 6 months, and then you could be good to go back to do these things you want to do.
It's true, but not fixed. There's no fixing this, I have to reiterate.
Yeah.
So if I'd given up 6 months last year, chances are right now, towards the end of my life, which is just a year or two or three, I might have stretched that out by more than the time I gave up. But it seemed like last year was when I needed to be doing stuff, not 3 years from now, if you got optimistic about it. I made that choice so far. So if this pill I'm on now doesn't work, and I won't know for 2 more weeks at least, then I might have to do chemo or something like that to try something else. It just looks like to me that the joke on me is that I handle these drugs pretty well and it works pretty well, but not very long. You see those things on TV, all those side effects that, mm-hmm. you know, they give you 10 seconds of what this will do for you, and then they give you 30 seconds of this will ruin your life. But I've been pretty lucky on that. Having zero testosterone, my get up and go is got up and gone, or whatever you say. Mm-hmm. I have no get up and go.
Energy's gone.
Nothing's gone. And sometimes I am just pooped by the time it gets to 4 or 5. But I enjoyed this, and it is show business enough doing this and in my particular environment that I've done this not because I'm dying, but because it does lift me up a little bit, you know, something to do. Working with Jared lifts me up, you know, he's great. And we're doing this stuff for Leon that I can rationalize as important. And I'm able to do that. Jared comes 2 or 3 days a week. He's been hired by the state to study to what help. It is I do, because I'm not going to be here. And to help me, too.
You're digitizing the Leon Russell material.
You know, just talk about, what did you learn from this guy? What did you learn from that guy? What would you tell that guy in the club? There is so much to learn that has been astounding. I'm just overwhelmed at times by the stuff I will not get done. There's no possible way. I mean, I have guitars. I have all these guitars, but that's nothing compared to the Ripley guitars that I was making in my days of extensive wiring and tricks they did. I don't hardly remember how to do it. You know, it's just a thing I went through. But Ry Cooder's still playing his, and Eddie Van Halen's still playing his, and it's now been 30 years. I never imagined they'd last that long, and in a serendipity fashion, I have ended up with 2 or 3 of those extremely, let's say, fancy but extensive wiring guitars that are like the ones Rye has and Eddie has. Mad scientist stuff. And they need fixing. So if I don't stop for a few days and figure out how to fix those 2, 3, 4 guitars, they are worthless because nobody can. Nobody would want to try to figure out what that is. I'll have a hard time figuring it out. So if I do fix those up so they're sellable, they're worth $5,000 to $10,000 a piece. Well, Charlene could use that, so could I. Even if I'm gone, then that'd be great. If I don't, they're just like dumpster material, unless they just hang them on the wall at the museum, because lots of knobs. And some of the guitars I made are hanging in the Hard Rock Cafe. It's a shame because I spent so much time making those guitars and tricks and stuff, but they're just hanging there and they'll never be played again. So there's art. There's that, you know?
Yeah.
So there's overwhelming stuff.